Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, begin reading at verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that there is so much in it that You want to share with us, Lord, not just a head knowledge, Lord, but experience it in our very lives and our hearts. We just pray You would help us, Lord, to get a full grasp of these truths that are contained here, of Your power and what is available unto us, Lord. Just pray that You would bless us this day by Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And it begins, this is essentially a prayer of Paul for the Ephesians, and we can apply it really to any Christian, something that we would desire. He speaks of it, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. He wants us to know, not in the abstract, but experientially, to become intimately acquainted. We talked about this a few weeks before, the idea of knowing. That it isn't just to know facts, but it's knowing a person. That we find all these things in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him as a person. And He wants to show these things unto us. Where it says, the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what we want to look at specifically in the scriptures this morning is in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Verse 19, that we want to understand this exceeding greatness of His power. And as we had looked at before, we recognize that though there is a degree of precision in the English language, we often find that in other languages there is a bit more precision. We understand that with the word love that the Bible uses, we read it, the word love, that it there can actually be different Greek words behind it. One is phileo, which is more of a brotherly love, and then there's agape, which is selfless love, more Christ-like love. And we learned about that as well with the idea of knowledge, that there can be just knowing facts, but then there can be knowing a person intimately. And when we look at the word power, we want to understand from the scriptures that there's a lot of different words that are translated as power in the English. That as we get a brief understanding of them, it kind of can open up a whole new facet of our understanding of different passages. We see, first of all, that there's one word used for power. The Greek word is exousia. That it gives the idea of authority, someone that's a power. When we see in Romans 13, verse 1, it speaks of the powers that be, that they're ordained of God. That's this exousia, ones that are in authority. And when Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, it's all authority is given unto Him, that He has put all things under His feet, that He is in control, and we can rest under that, that He has total authority. We see also a word in the Greek, it's kratos, speaks of strength, force, and dominion. That it, when it speaks of according to the working of His mighty power, that power speaks of His kratos, And Ephesians 6 verse 10, it speaks of that, where it be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That there is this force, this ability. But when we see the exceeding greatness of His power to us, we're to believe, the word there in the Greek is dunamis. Speaking of mighty works, of miracles, the ability to do great things. And it is from that word that we get the words in our English, dynamo, dynamic, dynamite. That it is this power that is explosive, this power that is far beyond what we can understand. And we think, well, how great is this power? How amazing is it? How much beyond our understanding is it? And we see specifically, it says, the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That this power that Christ, who was dead, who was buried, He did not swoon, He did not just go into a coma and then come out of it, that He was dead, that the grave had swallowed Him up in a sense. But yet by the power of God that He was raised up again, that death had no more dominion over Him. And we understand that power that could raise the dead. And we see that spiritually speaking of any person who comes to Christ as Savior, of who that they are dead in trespasses and sins, but because of the power of God that they are made alive under righteousness, alive under God once again. That we understand that it is the power to do the impossible. That with God there is nothing impossible at all, that He can do anything that He chooses to do so. We think of the vision of the dry bones that Ezekiel had, where he was in this valley and these bones are all there and they are very dry, and the Lord said unto him, shall these bones live? And of course, humanly speaking, it was totally impossible. But Ezekiel said, well, O Lord God, Thou knowest. And we see of how He took all these bones and He formed them again into flesh and bone and breathed His Spirit into them, and they became living souls once again. And it speaks specifically of how it will be in the end times, of how His own people, Israel, how they were scattered, their hope was lost. It seemed that there'd be no hope that they'd ever come together again. But yet, by God's power, that He is able to bring them up out of their graves into their own land and be established once more. That we understand that these things that we look at as being absolutely impossible are possible with God. We recognize different places in the Scripture that speaks of God's power. We see, first of all, that there is power in the Gospel. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That we understand that for one who is dead in sins, who is condemned by God for their sins, that has no hope, that is separated from God, through the Gospel of Christ, they can be forgiven. All that sin can be cleansed away, so they're justified as if they had never sinned before. And that when a person trusts in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it has power in their life, that it changes them, that they pass from death unto life, that they become children of God, adopted with Him, and are joint heirs with Christ. They are accepted in the Beloved. That this comes from the power of the Gospel. That to those that perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, as it speaks of in 1 Corinthians 1:18. And we see that. We can have it evidence in our own life, and we can even think of other people that we know, who we knew them before they were saved, and we know them after they were saved. And we see the change that happened. And it wasn't that they reformed themselves or that they turned over a new leaf. It was God that did a work. God had this power to make someone that was cruel and wicked and awful and turn them into someone that's kind and loving and merciful and honorable and a person of virtue and character. That God can do that. God can change a person, and it is by the power of the Gospel. We see also the power of the blood of Christ, of how we who are far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ, as it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 13. We see also in Hebrews chapter 9 that They had the Old Testament sacrifices that they were basically for a covering of sin for a year, but as soon as someone sinned again, that they were they had to be performed again. But we see verse 13 of Hebrews 19, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And that is the power of the blood, that it can purge us from our old sins, that they can be washed away, that we don't have to think of them and be borne down by them with guilt, thinking, well, I failed God and I'm unworthy to stand before Him. The blood has made us worthy. We are accepted in the beloved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we know in 1 John 1 verse 7, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That it says, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And we recognize that to be, that when it says all, it means all, that every sin, no matter how evil it has been, no matter how disgusting and loathsome what we've done has been to the Lord, that we can be cleansed from all sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is no sin that is too much that cannot be covered by His blood. And we see as well in Revelation chapter 12, speaking in the end time, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." That our adversary, the devil, such strength, such power, that really in our own strength we recognize we have no power to stand before him. But we see of the saints that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb because of what Jesus Christ did, sacrificing himself on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, that now we can have access to the Father. We can come before the throne of grace to get the help we need in difficult times. And he can help us to have victory over the devil beyond what we ever thought possible. And we see also the power of the Holy Ghost, that Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." We read also in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that he says, "But ye shall receive power," that dunamis, "we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And we recognize that just from the history itself of the, we see the disciples before the day of Pentecost, when all these came to, the mob came to take Jesus into custody, they all forsook him and fled. That Peter, who promised that he would die with the Lord, that he would never deny him, that he denied him three times. But yet we see of how things have changed, that during the day of Pentecost, when the power of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them, that they had this boldness that they were able to preach, that God had given it to them, and it wasn't something that they'd worked up, something that they had listened to some tapes on the power of positive thinking. It was the Holy Spirit that came and changed them and enabled them to be witnesses for God when they never would have been able to do that before. And we understand that for every Christian, that when we trust Christ as Savior, that we receive the Holy Spirit, that we don't receive just some part of Him, because the Holy Spirit is a person. He can't be divided, that we receive all of Him. And He gives Himself unto us so that we might have the strength to live the Christian life, to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That is what we have residing within us, this spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. That He gives us that ability, that when we're at our weakest, that He can strengthen us. That when we don't feel like loving, that all we feel is hate, that He can give us that love into our hearts, can shed it into us so that we might minister to others and show love to others, even when it doesn't seem they deserve it. And He gives us a sound mind when everything around us is topsy-turvy and we don't know how to make sense of it, that He gives us a clear thought so we can know what to do in that situation. That the power of the Holy Ghost is there for us to help us and strengthen us in our daily lives. And so we recognize this power that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 1 there, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. That we understand that He wants to give it to us, this power. He wants to share it with us. He wants to allow it to become manifest in our life. That He wants His grace to be poured out abundantly upon us. Not just in small measure, not He's just dispensing to us just only what we need for the day, but the idea that He's abounding far beyond what we would ask or think. We see that in Ephesians 3, verse 29, to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that He wants to give this unto us, this far beyond whatever we expect. This same power that was able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that works in us, the same power that He is able to do far beyond whatever we expect as we pray unto Him, that He doesn't just give us the bare minimum so often. He blesses us far beyond what we even ask. And we can be so thankful for that. And so we wonder, how do we receive this? He wants to give it to us. How do we obtain it? And if we're honest, we recognize that we need it, that we have challenges, we have problems in our lives, things that happen that we're powerless to solve. Sometimes these problems are brought upon by our own selfishness, our own selfishness, and we know that unless we change ourselves, and unless something happens within our lives, we're not going to be in a place where God can bless us. We want change. We want it to happen. We see things happening in our life. We react to them poorly. And we know we've done wrong, but then it happens again and we react the same way. And we wonder, well, how can I change? How can I get this power to help me? We realize that we can't do it in ourselves. It says, Jeremiah 13, verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? So then may ye do good that are accustomed to do evil. It says in Proverbs 20, verse 9, no man can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. That we recognize that this work needs to be done in our lives. It is not something that we can work up. It's something that God has to do a miracle. God has to change us. God has to make us a different person. He has to transform us into His image. That is His purpose, His design for us. And we want to realize that He has the power to change us. So we ask, how do we receive it? How do we obtain this power? First of all, we want to recognize that we need to first acknowledge our weakness. We see this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul was given this thorn in the flesh to buffet him, this messenger of Satan. He asked the Lord to have it depart from him, but the Lord said no. And he says in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we want to recognize that when we think we can handle things, we think we can figure it out in our own wisdom, we think we can handle it in our own power, we stumble and fall. But when we are in a place of weakness, where physically, mentally, we're not at a point that we can continue on, then we're at a place where God can manifest His power. That we're not getting the glory anymore, that we're empty, and that we allow Him to fill us so that He can show His power, that He can be glorified. That we want to recognize that where he says that and that we can recognize that without Him, we can do nothing, as it says in John 15, verse 5. We have to be connected to Him. We have to have Him doing a work in us for us to change. And then secondly, not only do we need to recognize our weakness, we need to have faith in God's power, that we see it there, that it is the effectual working of it's God's power, that it is able to produce the effect desired. That you can think of it in the terms of electricity, that in lightning there is great power in that, but it is not effectual, it's not harnessed. It's something that's very dangerous in many ways. We have the picture of Benjamin Franklin discovering electricity with flying the kite in the thunderstorm and learning about electricity that way. We actually find that there was a couple people that tried to basically do the same experiment over again, and they actually both were killed because it was such a dangerous thing, that how Benjamin Franklin didn't get killed was itself a miracle. But we understand that it is a dangerous thing, but yet nowadays electricity has been harnessed. It's be able to be used to accomplish a purpose. It is made effectual. And that's what we want to look at, that God has this power, but sometimes we think, well, it's not available for me. It's not going to help me solve my problem. We need to realize it is effectual. God has brought it in such a way by giving us His Holy Spirit, putting Him within us, that it is available and it is able to accomplish all that needs to be done. And we recognize that it says there, the exceeding of the greatness of His power to usward who believe. That we have to believe that when He says that He can do these things, that He can change us, He can enable us to do right when we've always done wrong, that there is power there, and that if we believe that we can receive it. We understand how it says that without Him we can do nothing, but we see on the flip side, Philippians 4 and verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when it says all, it means all, that there are no exceptions to that. That if the Lord says, well, I need to treat people better, I need to be a witness for Him, I need to stop one thing and start doing another, and we look at our own selves and we say, oh, I don't have that power, I can't do it. The Lord says, well, you can through me. I can give you that power. It's available to you for the asking. And there are no exceptions. I remember this one little story. It was kind of a bedtime story for the kids, and it was titled Knocking Out the Tea. That there's so many things that we look at and we say, well, I can't do it. This can't happen. There's no way that this is going to work out. That we just, anything that we look at, we try, we say, no, I can't do it. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to knock out the T and say, I can, through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can become the father, the spouse that I need to be. I can become the witness God desires me to be. I can learn to control my tongue. I can learn to show God's love even in difficult circumstances. I can have peace in the midst of the storm. I can have joy in the midst of sorrow. I can do that through Christ who strengtheneth me. So we see, to receive His power, we need to recognize our weakness. We need to have faith in God's power. And then finally, we need to submit to His effectual working of His power in our lives. And it's the kind of thing, we understand that there is this great power that God has available, but we want it on our own terms. We think of Simon in Acts chapter 8, of how he saw the apostles working, and they're given, as they baptized people, they received the Holy Ghost. And Simon, who was formerly a magician, he offered them money. He said, well, I want this power. Whatever it costs, give it to me so I can have it. And they rebuked him because he didn't understand what it was about. And we want to realize that the power of God, we want it on our terms and not His. We kind of have our agenda for our life, and He has His. We kind of want to go through life being happy and comfortable, that we have trouble, we just kind of want His power to just fix it, and then we can go back to the same old way we were before. But God has a different agenda for us. He wants to transform us. He wants to make us into His image. He wants to have us forever changed. We want His power at our disposal to use as we see fit, but He is the Holy Spirit, God Himself, that we don't use Him, He uses us. That He is not at our disposal, we are to be at His disposal. And so we want to understand that He is doing a work in us, it is the effectual working, and we need to allow Him to do that work. We see this, that Paul was made a minister in Ephesians 3, verse 7, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. That he did not have the ability to be a minister, to be a preacher to the Gentiles of the unsearchable riches of Christ. God gave him that power. God gave him that ability. And it was because of that, because he allowed God to work, that God was able to use him. That this power that worketh in us, that it can have a power if we allow it to do so. We see in Colossians chapter 1, where it speaks of this mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations. Colossians 1 verse 27, to whom God would make known which is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. That we look at Paul, we look at him as doing such great things. He wrote a large portion of the New Testament. He won countless souls to Christ, planted many churches, and we wonder, well, he was a super Christian. He was different. We can't be like him, but we ought to understand that the same power that changed him is the same power that can change us. That it worked in him mightily, that he strived according to the working of God, this power that was within him. And I think our problem so often is God is trying to do this work in us, and instead of striving according to it, we're striving against it. That he's trying to change us and we're resisting, and it's not manifesting his power. That he's just saying to us, allow me to do my work in you and you'll see the end result, that you'll be changed, that you'll be able to have victory in these areas where you've only seen defeat. That he can bring this to you, and that we would strive not against his working but according to his working. That he would enable us, that he would strengthen us so that we could be used of him. And so we want to understand that the power is there. It is available to us to help us to change, to help us to have victory, to help us to become what the Lord would have us to be for our own sake and for the sake of those around us. And so we need to ask ourselves, will we allow him to work in us so that we may experience his power? That the manifestation of God's power in our life is not limited by God, but by our own refusal to admit our need of him, our lack of faith in appropriating it, and our lack of submission in allowing it to do his work. And we must do that. We must allow him to work. Admit that we need him. Recognize he's our source of power. And then allow him to do that work in us so that we can be changed. This week, Perry let me borrow his tractor, and I was he'd showed me how to kind of run it before I left town, and he'd showed me that there was the gear shift, and then there was, of course, the lower gears and the higher gears. And not knowing it that well, just kind of seeing kind of as he showed, I thought, well, high gear must be up. And so I put it there, but then he told me that I should be able to get home in about an hour. And so I was looking at my watch, and it was 15 minutes, and I wasn't even out of the city limits yet. And so I was wondering, okay, well, something must not be right. And so then I started filling with it, and I dropped it down, and then put in the clutch, and just about had whiplash because it went so much faster. And that's kind of how I think it can be sometime in our Christian life, that the Lord manifests his power to us somewhat, but we kind of stay in the lower gears. We're almost too scared to go too high, We're worried it might take us somewhere where we wouldn't want to go, that we want to kind of keep putting along in our Christian life when the Lord wants us to go further. He wants us to put it into high gear. He wants us to manifest His power far beyond anything that we've ever expected. And we don't want to be content just in having manifested in life just a little bit of God's power. It's kind of the idea that a child comes to a birthday party and there's a table full of presents and they only want to take one of them and they don't want to find out about the rest. That the Lord has this abundance He wants to give us, and He wants to reveal that unto us. He wants to experience His full power in our lives. He wants us not simply to survive, to kind of make it through life and get to glory. He wants us to be overcomers, to be victors, and to receive crowns which we will cast at His feet. That He wants to take us beyond what we've ever experienced. And He wants to change us and transform us to be His witnesses. So that when we surrender ourselves to His working, that we allow Him to do His work, that we have faith in Him that He can do it, that we stop trying to do it ourselves, that we see a change that's wrought in our life. We see His power firsthand, and as God changes us, then we have the ability through His power, through His Word, as we share it, that others are affected too. And so may the Lord help us that we would come to know, as Paul prays for, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward that believe, that we would allow that power to work in us, and so then the Lord can then work through us and manifest His power in the world around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great power that You have given to us, Lord, through Your Word, through Your blood, through Your Holy Spirit. We just pray that You would help us, Lord, to submit to You, Lord, to surrender our lives to Your transforming work, striving together with You according to that power, Lord, not against it. And Lord, we just pray You would help us, Lord, that in our daily lives that Your power would be manifested, that we would see You changing us, that those around us would see us growing and maturing and becoming more like You each day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to hymn number 454 and sing "What a Wonderful Savior," hymn 454.